The Clifton Chronicles, Volume 1. Only Time Will Tell. By Geoffrey Archer. Read by Roger Allam and Amelia Fox.
This story would never have been written if I hadn't become pregnant. Mind you, I'd always planned to lose my virginity on the works outing to Weston-super-Mare, just not to that particular man. Arthur Clifton was born in Stillhouse Lane, just like me, even went to the same school, Merriwood Elementary. But as I was 2 years younger than him, he didn't know I existed. All the girls in my class had a crush on him, and not just because he captained the school football team. Although Arthur had never shown any interest in me while I was at school, that changed soon after he'd returned from the Western Front. I'm not even sure he realised who I was when he asked me for a dance that Saturday night at the Palais, but to be fair, I had to look twice before I recognised him, because he'd grown a pencil moustache and had his hair slicked back like Ronald Coleman. He didn't look at another girl that night, and after we'd danced the last waltz, I knew it would only be a matter of time before he asked me to marry him. Arthur held my hand as we walked back home, and when we reached my front door, he tried to kiss me. I turned away. After all, the Reverend Watts had told me often enough that I had to stay pure until the day I was married, and Miss Monday, our choir mistress, warned me that men only wanted one thing, and once they got it, they quickly lost interest. I often wondered if Miss Monday spoke from experience. The following Saturday, Arthur invited me to the Flicks to see Lillian Gish in Broken Blossoms, and although I allowed him to put an arm around my shoulder, I still didn't let him kiss me. He didn't make a fuss. Truth is, Arthur was rather shy. The next Saturday, I did allow him to kiss me, but when he tried to put a hand inside my blouse, I pushed him away. In fact, I didn't let him do that until he'd proposed, bought a ring, and the Reverend Watts had read the banns a second time. My brother Stan told me that I was the last known virgin on our side of the River Avon, though I suspect most of his conquests were in his mind. Still, I decided the time had come, and when better than the works outing to Weston-super-Mare with the man I was going to marry in a few weeks' time. However, as soon as Arthur and Stan got off the charabanc, they headed straight for the nearest pub. But I'd spent the past month planning for this moment, so when I got off the coach, like a good girl guide, I was prepared. I was walking towards the pier, feeling pretty fed up, when I became aware someone was following me. I looked around and was surprised when I saw who it was. He caught up with me and asked if I was on my own. "Yes," I said, aware that by now Arthur would be on his third pint. When he put a hand on my bum, I should have slapped his face, but for several reasons I didn't. To start with, I thought about the advantages of having sex with someone I wasn't likely to come across again, and I have to admit, I was flattered by his advances. By the time Arthur and Stan would have been downing their eighth pints, he'd booked us into a guest house just off the seafront. They seemed to have a special rate for visitors who had no plans to spend the night. He started kissing me even before we'd reached the first landing, and once the bedroom door was closed, he quickly undid the buttons of my blouse. It obviously wasn't his first time. In fact, I'm pretty sure I wasn't the first girl he'd had on a works outing. Otherwise, how did he know about the special rates? I must confess, I hadn't expected it to be all over quite so quickly. Once he climbed off me, I disappeared into the bathroom while he sat on the end of the bed and lit up a fag. Perhaps it would be